Dr. Chetna, you had mentioned about integrated care, and there are many components to true integration. Could you elaborate on this word integration as a follow-up to your introductory video? Because this is a very powerful word. You know, most people will go to a medical office, they'll see a medical doctor, they get medications, checkups, etc. But your vision is to go much beyond that. So if you could elaborate on what is integration for you as a physician, and then beyond that also.
Yeah, so integrated care starts with when the patient comes to you for the first time. You are asking them or getting a thorough history, which covers everything. For example, you know, things like, you know, social history is important. Usually there's not much time to go into their detail about, you know, how they grew up and where they grew up and what they went through in their lives and everything. But you can come kind of get an idea about what is going on in short in their lives. And so that's part of it also, to get an idea about what is going on there. And then the rest of the history. So, and that gives us a perspective about what might be going on with the person physically and where it's coming from. Initially, you want to start, even if somebody comes, for example, with a stomach issue, you want to know how it started, where it started, when it started, and does the person have any other problems, the rest of the body, but more than anything else, when it started and how, and to go back into their history in, you know, early on, even as far as childhood and even further. So that gives us an idea about how long this person has been going through, and even as far as what investigations or have been done so far. Because in my field, lately, at least in the last few years, I've been seeing people with very non-specific symptoms have been through a lot of investigations and tests and, you know, CAT scans and MRIs and everything, and still not better. So which is why we have to look at it all around and say, why are the body systems not working properly? And, you know, so it's more like that, to firstly, almost like a detective, trying to really look into not just that system, but the whole body, and say what could be affecting one or the other, each other.
So the fact is that there are 11 physiological systems, and they're all interconnected, correct?
Absolutely.
Could you talk a little bit, elaborate on what you mean by systems of the body, just as a background?
So gastrointestinal system, respiratory system, cardiovascular system, neurological system, musculoskeletal system, endocrine, which is the hormonal system, then, urological system, which is your, nephro and neuro kind of go together, which is more in terms of, filtering and, excretion and everything. Those are all the main systems, and there are little ones also, but those are the ones mainly which are, which help us live our lives in perfect harmony.
So there is an interconnection and interlinkage of all these systems, is that right?
Absolutely. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to function. So it's almost like the whole body's communication system is through hormones, and hormones are not just reproductive hormones, which people talk about. It's hormones all over the body, starting from the brain till the, the end of the GI system. So there is different hormones which function for different systems, and they are connected to each other. And that's why it's a messaging system. So one messages to the other, and that's why we talk about mind-body connection. Why? Because when things happen in the mind, it is connected. Certain chemicals are secreted in the body. Certain neurotransmitters are secreted in the body, and which affects the hormonal systems, which is starting from the brain all the way up to the gut, which is the intestine, and that the reproductive system, the estrogen and progesterone, and the endocrine system, which is all the insulin, the pancreas, and everything. There are like 23 hormones in the GI system. So they're all connected and to each other, so they affect one another. manner. And that is why we have to look at it, like, where did it originally start and what happened and how can we, you know, and the body is perfect. The problem is when we do not know what are the things which cause the body to dysfunction, is a problem. Things like, for example, even your thoughts, which starts from positive and negative thoughts, which also release certain chemicals. Positive thoughts relieve positive chemicals, and the negative thoughts secrete negative, you know, not so desired chemicals, which is why the messaging system is disrupted or is not appropriate, which will send the wrong signals to the body to go into a dysfunctional mode.
So are you saying that thinking positively or positive thinking impacts the actual physiology of the body?
Absolutely.
Could you elaborate on that piece? Because certainly we understand that we're alive, there's, you know, there's blood flowing, and we know those things. But if you can elaborate on that, please.
Absolutely. So when you have a positive thoughts, there's positive chemicals, you know, secreted, and that affects your hormonal system. There are certain other neurotransmitters which are affected in the brain, which goes even up to the gut. So the GI dysfunctions, for example, let me give you an example. I think it's hard to just randomly generalize it. Let's say, for example, you have a, you know, thought, like a stressful thought, so which is making your stress hormones go up, which is the adrenal gland, which is two small glands above your kidneys. So we can start with the extreme example, like a fight or flight response when there's a predator in front of you or a somebody's, you know, coming to chase you. So what happens in the body automatically knows that it goes into a survival mode. So at this point, it shuts off every other system in the body except the musculoskeletal system, which gets the maximum energy because that's what's required to run away or fight. And that's all there is. So your digestive system is not working on digesting your food, for example, at that time, and absorbing and going to the bathroom, or urinary system coming to say, now I want to excrete or detox and things like that. So what has happened is, over time, unfortunately, in these days, when we say stress and chronic stress, there's no predator or there is no, you know, a calamity in front of you, but the things which happened in their lives of people, which have occurred, circumstances occurred, situation occurs, people tend to not let go of it and, you know, think about it. And what that happens is it brings on this huge whole response, like it did when the situation happened. Mm-hmm. And so all the body does is the stress hormones go up. So now the digestion takes a beating, the same things, processes happen. And if there is something called a frozen state. So when you are in that state and haven't moved on to the next, you know, healing mode, which is the stress is down and you get to the healing mode, then it goes on and on. So every time the person thinks of this situation, you bring out this whole stress response. So the body over and over and over again goes through this stress mode, which is not healthy for the body, because if it stays in that mode, there is no healing which is happening. Mm-hmm. And so the body is forced, the rest of the body, the GI system, the respiratory system, the heart, the cardiovascular system is forced to adjust to this new equilibrium trying to be created to adjust to the, you know, the stress response. And so there's a mixed signal. So, there's the GI system secretes some hormones, it doesn't secrete some hormones. So the digestion is completely affected. And so even if the person is trying to eat the right foods, but it stays in that mode, it doesn't do exactly what it's supposed to. Yeah. So in the same with other systems also. So that's why when you see people getting these issues of stomach problems and they've done all the investigations possible and nothing's showing up, this is because it's a functional issue and we have to know where it's coming from. Yeah. So that is what integrated care is all about, is not just looking at that particular system and saying, oh, I did all the workup for GI and then, you know, I don't know what's wrong with you. And that may be the truth. But if you look deeper and you find out and go further into the depth of mind-body, of course, that's a field of its own. When you delve into it, you can find solutions, you can find tools which you can help patients with, which by implementing, they reduce the stress levels or they know how to react to stress or respond to stress differently, yeah, so that this frozen state unfolds and comes to this healing phase when the body automatically knows what to do. And that is what we're trying to do here, not just stick to that one mode where you're saying, oh, nothing is wrong with you. That's only because you're not seeing anything wrong. The tests and the investigations only see what's, physically wrong. And, yes, ultimately the person may, you may find something, but this is what we're trying to do is before something is found, like cancer or a tumor or, some other syndrome or anything develops, you want them to work on where it's necessary, whether it's the mind-body connection, so that this doesn't continue or starts healing. You give an opportunity to the body to actually do its part, mm-hmm, instead of interfering with it, from your mind. And the problem with this is the mind-body connection is unconscious or subconscious. So people don't know they're doing this. This happens automatically without their knowing because they're not aware of every thought which comes through, every impulse that comes through. It just happens. And over time, it becomes a conditioning. And so it's rewired in a different way. You don't realize. And that time, people saying, I feel anxious. I don't know why. Yeah. And because the whole body has adjusted to whatever was happening, mm-hmm, that acute stress phase. Mm-hmm. And now it's a different norm or a different equilibrium.
You know, it's a very interesting way to look at all of this, this integrated approach. An analogy would be someone who has a broken bone. They just break a bone. That's going to impact someone's emotions. So that's where the body damage or bodily damage impacts the emotional mental system. And then it goes the other way. The mental system damage, any kind of difficulty damages the body. Would you say that that's the case?
Absolutely. So if somebody breaks a bone, yes, it's trauma to the mental, emotional, and the body. But the problem in that case is if the person is frozen in that emotional state of how the trauma occurred, yeah, then you're not giving the body the environment to actually heal. Yeah. So you're bringing these emotions again and again about the trauma occurring. So even though the person may go through surgery and the orthopedist may put the bones together with a plate, the healing doesn't happen because you don't allow and create that environment. So one has to release, let go, and there are certain techniques you can follow to get out of that mode. So you really give your body that, that environment a space where the body can actually heal, because the body knows exactly what to do. You know, we all think that as doctors, we heal people. I don't think so. It's just giving the body for example, the orthopedist will put the plate and screws. Mm-hmm. It's kind of supporting the body what to do and to say, this is the way I want it to be. But the rest of the healing, the bone growth, the new bone which comes there and everything it happens only because the body knows what to do. So it is, amazing how the body is made. And it's actually very redeeming, the fact that we don't have to do anything big. The body already does it. So we just have to create that space to let the body do without interfering with the mind.
So that's a very interesting point, because it seems like there are some diseases, disorders, injuries that are really just physical in nature, like genetic problems and those kinds of things, as opposed to some problems that are truly just psychological in nature. But you're defining the word healing in a much broader, in a little bit more of an interconnected way. So could you differentiate between these three points? You've got someone who is just hurt physically somehow, or there's a physical problem. The problem is in the body, not in the mind. Then you've got another individual with the difficulty is more psychological, sociological, relational. There's that difficulty, which of course impacts the body. And then you've got an individual who's got some kind of a mixed difficulty that may have gone through like a post-traumatic stress problem, but there was also a physical injury with that. So there's a physical component and a psychological component. And I know these things are not separate like this, but maybe if you could differentiate that, and then in your differentiation, if you could talk about integrated care as per Angel Wing, as you were doing before. I know it's a little bit of a broad question, but I don't know. You can go with that the way you want. So
other than acute trauma, really, like where they need surgery to put it together and everything. Everything else, in my opinion, is all psychosomatic. Every single thing, every syndrome you get, except for some of the genetic, you know, congenital issues and, you know, things like that, which people come with and, you know, babies boing, you know, having some syndromes and those are different. But in general, if you see anything over in the adulthood or late, I mean, early adulthood to geriatric age, this is all created by the mind. The different, why people get different illnesses and different diseases is that maybe because of predisposition of that person to whatever, you know, genetic predisposition of whatever diseases they can be. For example, I will see diabetes in some people when they eat a lot of sweets, but then I don't see diabetes in some people who can eat all the sweets possible, but they get something else. For example, they will get an autoimmune disorder, they get rheumatoid arthritis, extreme pain in their bodies and things like that. So that depends, but originally, this starts with the mind. This is why I was telling about the connection about the thoughts and what happens to the body, because this on an onslaught of this repetitive, you know, negative thought processes, repetitive emotional upheavals, repetitive, you know, people who have gone through like post-traumatic disorder and haven't resolved the trauma or the emotions behind the trauma, keep going over that again and again and again. So ultimately the circuits which are formed or the thought loops which create these chemicals, neurotransmitters and whatever, you know, the loop is, they start causing weak genes even. And they, you know, the original genes were, which were so powerful, they are destroyed. And so the new, you know, genes which are formed are so weak that they, again, if it's not recognized, then the onslaught of these thoughts don't change.
Right.
They cause, they are turned on to cause cancer. They can be disease and they can be all of that.
Right.
Because if you think about the biggest evidence for that is people, when you have children who are up to 12, maybe a little younger nowadays, but who are not exposed to this external environment and do not think about a lot, you know, use their minds for the future and, you know, worry and, you know, concerns and everything. They're pretty happy and healthy now. One may say, oh, they have young bodies and everything. Yes, the trauma starts there, though, when, you know, you start thinking process and everything, how we are conditioned in this day and age, and you don't know how to handle stress. You do not know yourself. So you think that everything which is happening outside of you is real. And so you go with that and you don't ever find or you don't give your body that space which we're talking about for healing. So the body is not able to do its job. And so you're disrupting it each time, so different people get different diseases. So there's a lot of science behind it, how this happens. So literally everything is psychosomatic. And when I'm talking about mind-body, it is not about labeling people having, oh, people, all people who have depression will get disease. It's not that. The point is, how is the mind connected to the body and how does the mind keep the body from healing? Is the problem. So that is what I'm trying to say. So even in traumas, if, like I was explaining, if you're coming out of the emotional issue, your body heals perfectly. I've had people, why do children heal so quickly? And adults heal so slow?
Yeah.
Because they dwell on these things and they almost doubt the healing process. They're not allowing, they're stressed out, they don't allow it. If a child breaks its bone, it's healed in 6 weeks and you're done. You're all new almost, you know. So that is the difference in that thing where you give an environment for healing or not. So I think if the body's constantly in the survival mode, there is no chance of healing. And some are more than the others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even whether they've been through circumstances or situations. It's just an innate thing about how they cope with life and how do they look at life. How do they perceive things from their environment. So all these things are some things they come with. You know, we children come with or we come with. And unless we look into ourselves and introspect and say, this doesn't make sense. How can I get better at perceiving things differently? Or looking and changing my, viewpoint on things which I had, or the letting go of the limited beliefs which I've acquired, things like that, then it's going to be a different situation, like in health, in health wise.
Yeah. So to kind of wrap up with integrated care, and this is a more of an extended explanation. Just one final question here. It seems to me that patients need to recognize the need for integration, the way you are suggesting this. What prevents that from happening? You know, what's preventing people, patients, clients, or general public at large from recognizing what you are saying here? Because people may agree with this, but then what? I mean, that's another thing also. That's another question also. So what's preventing this kind of awareness from really coming up?
So the first thing is, people don't, even if people know it, they don't have evidence to back it up, or they don't have the time to give the evidence. So I think that's one thing. Yeah. Secondly, we live in an environment in health where there are certain things which are believed, or even the traditional doctors saying this is just the way and that's it. And so people think that they have to live with certain things which has not been found out. So they just go on. And the second thing is, and the other thing is, it's a pharmaceutical world right now. Right. Everybody wants a quick fix. Mm-hmm. So if they have pain, they don't care where it's coming from as long as the pain is gone. But, you know, it's like a crying child. You just put a pacifier in the mouth without knowing why the child is crying. Mm-hmm. So you are shutting the symptoms out. Mm-hmm. So that is why it's, and that's the way it's been, because that's how that's the impression created in the public. Now, it's also coming from authorities who you trust. So when you're sick, you know you have to go to the doctor, but if the doctor is telling you in the traditional mode, we're not taught about integrated care. So if they're telling you one thing, you just go with it and trust it and go along. Mm-hmm. And the only thing people know in the traditional aspect is, oh, this person has these symptoms classified as depression, so I have depression, and even for that, oh, okay, take the medication, right. and maybe some therapy, and that's it. Sometimes you don't even provide therapy. People just take medications, and they don't want to go for therapy because they don't understand the extent of this mind-body connection. Right. And then the third thing is, we live in a world where it's all insurance ruled, you know. So people have, you know, health insurance. Some people don't have any, but even the people who have health insurance, they are completely controlled by the traditional system. They will not cover any of the other medical systems. And granted, there's not enough proof, you know, for them to cover anything and everything. We don't know if it works or not. So those are all the barriers which don't allow people to get care. And the last thing is, I think people's priorities are different in life. You know, unfortunately, health and well-being is the last thing they're thinking of. Everything is based on pleasure. Everything is based on desires being fulfilled, material stuff acquiring. All these can happen also with taking care of yourself, but it cannot be at the cost of your health. And this is what's happening, because people will go and spend hundreds of dollars for a beauty treatment, but they will not spend $50 going and getting an alternate or a complementary medicine, even paying money for their doctor's visits. They fight about it. So this is the paradigm shift one needs to have. What is important to me, and why am I not looking at my health the way I should be looking? Because that's the only thing you have. If a person dies then tomorrow, what is the worth of having or planning all these things and striving so hard, working really hard from day and night? And yes, we have to plan for the future. But if you do only that, then you're really not living the present, because the only things which are pertinent is the present moment.
Yeah.
So I think those are all the things. I mean, they're all different topics to talk about, but I think those are all the barriers which prevent people from, you know, understanding what health is about and where they should spend the money to get care.
Okay, very nice. Thank you very much.